This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 516. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nicole Shiro, and we're welcoming back Ms. Rebecca Melanson.
I'm back.
You're back. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby. Guess what, you guys? You know it. We stream this live at KOOP.org. Do not go away.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm allergic to cats.
It is Wednesday. May 15th, 2019, on the show today, we have Ground Floor Theater talking about Dexon Abbey by Alan Baker, and then a little later we're going to talk to the Zach Theater Pre-Professional Company and all of their goings-on, and of course we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Kansas City, Missouri. Stick with us.
Can cause such a violent reaction, my lung could collapse. So bear with me, sir, this is nothing sordid. Your patience, I promise, will...
Rebecca Melanson, welcome back.
I am back.
You are back. Back with a vengeance. You notice we're hearing an absence of Nicole Shiro's voice right now, and yet I introduced her as though she were here.
I think she is here, spiritually.
She's here in spirit. She is on her way. She will be here before we are done, at the very, very least. She's probably listening to us in the car going, I'm driving as fast as I can, but I live in Austin and there's traffic.
I'm trying.
Like that. Welcome back. So for those of you that don't remember, because it's been two whole weeks since Rebecca's been here, she was our intern, and now she is she's practically a professional programmer herself.
Practically. Not actually, but practically.
You're practically perfect.
I'm acting
in every way.
Like one anyway.
Yes. I would like to thank Kim Simpson, another wonderful international folk bazaar. He did such a great job. That song that I played was from a show called The Theory of Relativity, and it's called I'm Allergic to Cats. Anybody in our studio audience familiar with that show? Anybody?
No.
Yeah. Nope. Shaking heads does not work on the radio. In honor of just our loving pets, all our interstitial music is going to have to do with pets, and that was about cats. Yeah. And let me tell you something. When you plug into iTunes, Cats original cast, guess what you see mostly?
What?
Cats.
Oh.
Shocking. Okay, let's introduce all these wonderful disembodied voices. We have a pretty full house today. Welcome back to Josh Wexler. How are you?
Wonderful.
I feel like I haven't seen you forever.
You're always in my heart.
And we have Jen Young-Malstad. How are you?
Hi.
Welcome back. Haven't seen you either in a long time.
Thanks for having us back.
lovely. Okay, here we go. Cameron Lamontagne.
Yeah.
Lamontagne. Oh, boy. Yeah. Got it. And then I'm really happy to have Blakeney. And is it, I'm assuming your last name is Malstad?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's okay. Everybody does it.
Yes.
and we also have Zoe Parkinson.
Hello.
Okay. And then we have the incomparable Mr. Bob Tolero.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while either.
Since last night.
Uh-oh. Right into the microphone there, Bob.
But since last night.
Yeah. Cassidy Timms. Hi, Cassidy.
Hi.
We learned today that it's been...
10 years.
10 years since you've been on this show, so
yeah,
that's good.
I wish I'd
remembered. I would have gone back, and maybe next week I'll play a little clip from
Ooh.
That. And then finally, Jason Graff. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Jason, have you been on the show before?
3 years ago.
Okay, good. Well, we have lots to talk about and very little time with which to do it. Let's see what's on my list of first. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm not very smart. Most people here that listen to the show know this. First of all, we'll start with the sad news. We had a bevy of not necessarily theatrical losses, but art losses. We lost both Doris Day and Tim Conway, neither of which have done Broadway shows, which I was surprised to learn that. I didn't do a lot of research on Tim Conway, I have to be honest. But I did look up Doris Day, never once on Broadway, and I didn't see anything on IBDB for Tim Conway either. So, anyway, we're very lost. I loved Doris Day. I mean, she not only did she... Nodding. Does that work on the radio? No. I love Doris Day, but she was so much fun. I love, love, love Pillow Talk and all the musicals that she did. That's it. That's the end of that story. And Tim Conway is funny, too. We also lost Alan Wasser, who is a general manager of some like 60 Broadway shows. And I think it's interesting that we talk about that because I don't think, you know, both Bob Tolero and I come from a background of stage management. And people don't know what stage managers are, do they, Bob?
Well, you're not supposed to know what they do because it's supposed to be that silent gang that makes everything happen, and then
correct.
Everyone says, "How'd that happen?" And they say, "Oh, must have been the actors."
I've
and
often
the singers,
said,
the
"If you, if you, if you notice the stage manager, there's something
that's
wrong."
That's right. That's right.
But I think the general manager of shows is even shrouded in more mystery, quite frankly. And they do everything. If you've ever worked on, on theaters like Zach Theater is probably a good example, and any Broadway show or any major tour, there's a company manager and a general manager, and they do everything.
I think they hire everyone.
They hire
the stage managers. They hire just about all the
They do
the
all the work. And as we're doing, so, you know, Ground Floor Theater is on our show today because we're opening a show tomorrow. And I'm sort of fulfilling that role as producer. And there's just a lot of little nitpicky stuff that you have to do. And they're like little gnats bothering you. It's like, oh, I've got to do this. I have to do that. I have to do the other thing. I need water for the actors. Actors are pains in the...
Oh, no.
No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. But anyway, so Alan Wasser passed away, and he did, I have a whole bunch of stuff that he did. He's currently represented on Broadway. I did not organize my paper very well, but he's done a lot of stuff. Let's just, wait, here it is. So right now he's got, The Prom, King Kong, Moulin Rouge, Lifespan of a Fact, Escape to Margaritaville is no longer there. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and he came in. His earliest Broadway credits include assisting the managing director of Death of a Salesman in 1975, Pal Joey in 76. He did Sugar Babies, which was in 1979, which was just shortly after I moved to New York. So, anyway, rest in peace.
Absolutely.
We had one opening in New York. From Encores, High Button Shoes. Has anybody ever seen High Button Shoes?
Never.
No,
never.
Yeah,
never.
Me either. So it was it came out 4 years after Oklahoma, 2 years after Carousel, when Broadway shifted from lighthearted, check your brains at the door shows to a little bit more heavy stuff with the Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff. And High Button Shoes came back in that old saw of doing that. And it was, God, I just lost his name. The music was written by Jules Stein and Sammy Kahn. And I lost his name. Phil Silvers was
Phil
the
Silvers.
Star. And this one is, and this current is Michael Urie, who I will remind the audiences thinks
Love
I'm
Michael
amazing.
Urie.
I have a text from him that says I'm amazing.
Yes.
Thank you. Anyway, so this is part of Encores. It's already come and gone. It's already opened and closed. Brent Brantley did the review. He says it has the approximate fizz and flavor of a vanilla egg cream.
Oh, and that sounds like him.
And I'm going to guess there's only one, maybe two people in this room that knows what an egg cream is. Anybody?
No.
Bob, you know what an egg cream is.
Oh, sure.
Well, it's a Northeast. It's an egg. It's a
it's
concoction
with...
that you drink.
Oh.
Anyway, that's it. Brooks Atkinson wrote of the original, eschewing progress in the arts for the moment, i.e., Carousel and Oklahoma. The producers of High Button Shoes have put together a very happy musical show in a very cheerful tradition. That was, I believe, Jules Stein, Sammy Kahn's first Broadway outing. So this one at Encores was choreographed by Sarah O'Glibby, which I love that name, and directed by John Rondo. And it contained other things, but my favorite line is that it contained a chorus line of winsome cows. Winsome cows. So here's the plot. A captivating con man descends on the guileless American town, charms and fleeces its inhabitants, and, spoiler alert, is forgiven by the final curtain, by is forgiven by the final curtain because he is, after all, so darn irresistible.
Aww. Aww,
sound like the Music
darling.
Man?
Yeah, sounds like it.
It does.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael Urie did not get a super duper great review. It's too bad. And the Ben Brantley says the music is genially forgettable and melodic.
And Encores only runs like
1 week.
1 week. Mm-hmm. So they usually bring in musicals that aren't produced very often.
But sometimes
anymore.
That's Chicago was born out of Encore.
Right.
So sometimes
right.
things get born from these things. So that's that. High Button Shoes. So has anybody ever heard of, I just learned about this, the Tony Awards?
Oh, yes. Very Tony.
Anybody?
Right, they're very yeah. Tony.
So we're, I think, just 3 weeks away from the Tony Awards. And every year, the New York Times puts out an article by their critics that say, who will win, who should win, who got snubbed, or who should have been who should have been nominated. And Jesse Green and Ben Brantley pretty much agree. For Best Play, who will win? Ferryman.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Who should win? The Ferryman. both of them said that, I believe. And both Bob and I saw The Ferryman.
Yes, yes. They have a very young baby on stage by itself. They just had auditions for the baby. I think it's 6 months old. They cannot crawl, so it won't walk off the stage. And must be able not to make noise. So I was talking to the executive director who held the auditions, and it was fascinating.
Yes. There's a huge article about what goes on backstage, including the baby. And there's two. They hire two babies.
Right, two babies.
Because you never know. Which mm-hmm. one's going to act up, right?
And they get half scale each, I was told.
They do. And by scale, it's by the weight of they put them on
the
a scale.
Half scale.
Anyway, Jesse Green said the What Constitution Means to Me should win, but it's not. Best Musical, both said, oh, no, wrong. Ben Brantley thinks it's Tootsie. Everybody else, including Jesse Green, thinks it's going to be Hadestown.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying, like, have you seen it?
Have you heard the music?
I love the music. I've been listening to it for a while.
Yes. Well, you know, Patrick Page has been on the show several times. Mm-hmm. So there you go. We like to name drop here on Offstage. Yeah. Yeah. So both of them said, had different Best Musical, but both of them that said the one that should win, that's not going to win, is The Prom. Mm-hmm. And we love that because The Prom has a lot of local connections. So we're all in favor of The Prom. And it has a good message. I'm just going to say that right out loud.
It does.
I don't care what y'all think. The best revival of a musical is Oklahoma. Everybody's saying that. And I really want to see this version of Oklahoma, which is a show I don't really like.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds amazing. And Ali Stroker is set to win Best Supporting, Best Featured Actor. And from what I hear, that's well-deserved as well. I really want to see it. It's going to go on the road.
Where is it?
It's at Circle and Square.
A Circle, okay.
Oh, yeah, Circle. Either Circle or the Armory, one of the two, because it's, I think it's the Armory. I can't remember. Really want to see it. And Best Actor in Musical, everybody's going to give it to Santino Fontana. And that's it. Anybody else? And then a lot of these things said that Yiddish Fiddler should have been nominated for stuff, and indeed, from what I hear, it should have. Have you seen it, Bob?
No, but everyone I spoke to said it was just amazing to hear it done in that way.
I just really want to see it.
Let's go
right now. I was listening to, you know, I have this box in my house, and I call it Alexa, and... And she just plays things that I ask her to. And I had her shuffle my music, and up came the Danny Burstein tradition from the Danny Burstein version of Fiddler on the Roof, the Bartlett Sher version that just came through Austin, Texas not too long ago. So that's basically it for the Tonys. Is everybody going to watch the Tonys?
Yes.
So there was, here's something you can do. So we've done in years past, the Tonys website would put out a printable version of the ballot.
The ballot.
And mm-hmm. we would, for every week we show, we'd have everybody fill it out, and then we would tally it up and see how it fared with what actually happened on the Tonys. What they have this time, this year, and then they stopped doing it for the past few years. So I went on, they have, it's a, you can fill out your predictions on the website, on the ballot, and you can have teams. which I almost started an offstage and on the air team, but I decided not to. But you fill it out, and it's there on their website, and you can print that out, and it shows a check mark about who you chose, and then there's a space to check mark the one that actually wins, which will be different from the one you chose, probably. But I thought one of the things that I thought interesting, and I think will be specifically interesting to Mr. Robert Tolero, is the and I just need, in Indiana they're doing a full ASL translated version of Into the Woods.
Oh, we're at in Indiana.
It's in Mishhakawa, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Mishhakawa, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Many people don't know that, but those were the original lyrics. So they've been working for 6 months on translating this into ASL. They'll be doing ASL actors, a good portion of the, let's see, the baker, the baker's wife, the witch, Jack, the narrator, the wolf, and the stepmother and Jack's mother are all going to be deaf characters with voice shadows. And then all the rest are going to be spoken actors with ASL shadows. And as anybody that follows me knows that I have a lot of interest in that. And Bob, you founded a theater of the deaf
in Dallas. And I worked on one as artistic director up in Ohio. And it was some of the most exciting kind of work to do because you dealt with two languages and different actors from different walks of life.
Yeah. And people don't understand that ASL is indeed a language.
Totally.
Very much like, with not much difference from any other spoken language.
And it means American Sign Language for those who don't know what ASL means.
And that's not the only, it's not the only sign language out there.
Correct.
And there are different, you know, ASL is American Sign Language, but there is also, you know,
British,
Mexican, British,
Canadian,
mm-hmm. Canadian.
And there's dialects in sign language.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Be surprised.
For instance, I have a British dialect in sign language. I just made that up. I really don't know what that means.
I believe that.
So both Dirty Oklahoma that I just spoke about, I call it Dirty Oklahoma because a podcast I listen to calls it that. There are Sexy Oklahoma, as some people are calling it. And To Kill a Mockingbird have announced national tours, which you're finding that for the longest time, straight plays didn't tour all that much. And now they are. And To Kill a Mockingbird, which, by the way, just announced that they are the highest grossing straight play in all of American history. They just overtook It's Only a Play by Terrence McNally. And they have made... So let's take a guess. How much money do you think To Kill a Mockingbird has made?
Lots.
Lots.
Okay. Well, so figure they're making probably every week they're making, I think they're grossing about
$1 million. At least $1 million, I would think, yeah.
So... Anybody guesses? Anybody without going over?
$2 million.
$2 million. Okay. How about $40 million?
Oh my God.
But wait, I can be more specific. $40,113,926.52. And 13 cents.
Oh.
Because that's a lucky number. It's Only a Play did basically $37.5 million. Anyway, so To Kill a Mockingbird is going to be starring one Richard Thomas, John Boy.
He'll be good.
He will be good. And it's going to start playing, oh my gosh, where did it say it was going to begin? I don't remember. It's going to start somewhere, I know that. But it's going to be a, they haven't announced the cities. But Oklahoma is going to premiere their tour in a state called Oklahoma. Yeah. And they're calling it a first-class equity production, which is actually something you need to say these days because not all the tours we go out there and see. Oklahoma. So they're going to be in Oklahoma City in at a later date. Just going to say that. So the last thing I kind of want to talk about, there was... Well, I do need to mention this article by my namesake, Lee Sheps, who has been a guest on this show before. She wrote an article about the working moms of Broadway, and there'll be a link on our site, offstageonair.com, if you all want to read it. But it's very interesting. She has she interviews Cherise Springer, Ellen Marie Marsh, Kelly O'Hara, and Ashley Fitzgerald and Beth Level. All are working moms in the theater with ages varying from infancy up to Beth Level's kids, I think, are 23 and 28. And how they deal with all the things that have to do with doing 8 shows a week and raising kids. And it's very, very interesting. So it's set up as an interview, and we get to hear each individual person. I found it interesting that they included Beth Level, whose kids are 23 and 28. I can't, but she does. She really talks about how historically she felt, rather than, it's so difficult to take care of my 28-year-old. Changing their diapers.
You hope not.
You hope not, exactly. Yeah, you want. Although today's day, not so much anymore. The last thing I sort of want to talk about, and I think this is kind of a good group to talk about it with, is there's a panel that's going to be happening through Equity, done by the Casting Society of America, town hall was the word I was looking for, about ageism, specifically around senior actors and casting. But I think ageism goes both ways. So there's problems with hiring older actors, there's problems in hiring younger actors, and both of those groups tend to be marginalized in a lot of ways. And I think that's an interesting thing to talk about and to deal with. And we need to include playwrights in this, because a lot of the younger roles and the older roles are very two-dimensional. So discuss. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Let's start with the younger. You guys, so we have a bunch of people that are on the younger side of the age spectrum.
Well, and they're also all Equity candidate members.
They're all Equity candidate members, too.
Yes.
That wasn't a thing when I was... We didn't have that option, right, Bob?
No, we didn't.
You had to be offered a contract.
But congratulations. So how that works is, if you get 25 weeks of work on any kind of Equity production, then you are allowed to join the union should you choose. Is that right?
Yes.
You get the privilege of paying $79 every 6 months plus 2% of your salary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Josh. So
Josh.
To say. I think that more recently, when you see shows like Bear or Spring Awakening, you see more developed roles for specifically younger people. However,
yes,
those roles are usually played by young adults as opposed to kids their own age, for normal reasons, like the kind of things you have to be able to relate to play those parts. You might not, you're going through them as a young teen and not as a young adult. The other side of that is, I think for a long time we were, especially in the theater world, we were really comfortable with kids being just kids,
right,
and not being more than that. And I think sometimes you still see that. I know something that, as directors of a program of performing young adults, that we see often is the infantilization of these young performers and not seeing them as multidimensional individuals. And if you look at something like The Music Man, where they're clearly infantilized, even though they're teenagers of this age, the same age that they would have been in Spring Awakening.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's, I think, changing slowly, but it's also hard to update the material of the past.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing is, and one of the great things, and we're going to talk about this later, a lot of markets don't have something like Zach's pre-professional program. Mm-hmm. So when you take a show like Spring Awakening or something, that performer needs to have a certain amount of maturity and a great deal of training before they can really tackle that role in a meaningful way. So if you don't have a program which teaches young artists how to funnel all that, then you're gonna not be able to find actors of that age to play those,
right,
those
like
roles.
A Juliet is usually played by a much older person than she is written to be, and that makes sense. And
yep.
And we're very proud to have a program here in Austin that prepares these young adults to play the parts that are appropriate for their age.
Well, great. I like to call them kids. So before we go to break, we're just about to take a little break, but Nicole Shiro just came in, even though we introduced her earlier.
I know, I heard that all, and I was in my car, and I was laughing. I am trying to get here, and I text you at the stop sign. You were right.
Well,
hello.
Good. Well, hello. So welcome.
Thank you.
Now we're going to go to break.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had Cats was our first pig, and, you know, Potbelly... our first pig, is what I just said. Cats was our first
and pot belly.
First pet. And now, you know, many people have pot belly pigs as pets. And so, therefore, we're going to hear from a show called Betty Blue Eyes, Pig No Pig.
There's a pig in the house, here with us.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
And Rebecca Melanson.
Woo!
That was a fun discussion, you guys. Okay, good.
It was.
Yeah, never mind.
I enjoyed listening to it.
You
so
guys are
I
dead
yes.
to me.
I don't think so.
You are dead to me.
Ageism.
So let's introduce the folks from Ground Floor Theater and Alan Baker's Dex and Abby. We have the director here, Mr. Robert Tolero.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we have playing Abby, Cassidy Timms.
Hello.
And playing Dex is Jason Graff.
Hello again.
So, Bob, what is this show, Dex and Abby?
Well, I got a call from some producer who said, we're doing a world premiere. Would you be interested in directing it? I said, send me the script, let me read it. And I read it, and I went, oh. And then I went, oh. And so it's a wonderful love story about two dogs who are forced to live together because their gay owners decided to move in together.
What are those dogs' names?
Dex and Abby.
It's kind of the canine odd couple.
The canine odd couple.
Literally, the canine odd couple.
Okay. Unfortunately, you couldn't hear it, but Dex and Abby were barking in the background.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Sorry. Yeah. So that's great. And I'm assuming that, I'm pretending like I don't know the show, but I do know the show. There's conflict ensues, does it not?
Oh, yes.
It is a theater piece, after all.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's these two dogs. One is a little bit older and larger, and one is a little more frantic and
mischievous
and of a smaller lapdog nature. And so,
lapdog.
look at you. You're pint size. And so, yeah, and it's just about, I would say it's about a bunch of people coming together and really becoming a family, I think, is the way. Yeah, that's the arc these characters.
Finding
yeah.
how to love each other.
Yeah,
figuring
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't always work, and it may or may not work in this case. Right?
We don't know.
Dun dun dun.
So, Bob, we're all used to those of us who have directed or are really accustomed to directing people. We don't oftentimes get a chance to direct actors portraying dogs. How is that for you?
Well, it's not a new idea. I think Edward Albee had something with actors playing animals and things like that.
Who is that that you just mentioned? I don't recognize that name.
Oh, I'm sure you don't. Edward Albee. But anyway, it's no different in the sense that these are humans playing dogs, but we don't dress them as dogs. We don't make them do 100% dog activities. You accept the fact that they are playing dogs and you watch their relationship grow. And it's a love story. It's very hilarious in Act 1 and very tender in Act 2 for both this couple and for the couple who are trying to figure out their lives together as well.
So do you give director's notes? Do you bark?
I do.
Or
oh,
you
I'm such
bark.
A barker, I'm sure. You know. No, I just say, I've never heard that line before. Things like that.
So what has this been, so you guys clearly playing the dogs.
Yes.
Have either of you played a dog before?
No.
Or any animal for that matter?
No.
Other than a human animal? How has that been for y'all?
Yeah. How do you prepare yourself for that?
Yeah, it is, it's been a very interesting process. It takes a lot of physical prep, I would say, for the both of us. And then also getting into the headspace of a dog is interesting because when you play a character, you're looking for subtext. You're constantly looking for the why. Why am I doing this? Why do they feel this way? What are my actions? But with a dog, there's no subtext.
At all.
They are constantly, they feel what they feel when they feel it, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that's been really interesting to cut all subtext and play complete truth the entire time.
Have you found yourself looking at dogs more and watching them? Like all of a sudden you're just out about not you know, without having that in mind and then going, whoa, I'm watching the dog.
99% of my dog of mannerisms in the show is completely ripped off from
Good
boy, Toby.
Mine is from Grin. Yes.
I just recently got him. He was a rescue dog who just showed up at my mother-in-law's house, and he was a wonderful addition to our life. And then shortly thereafter, we got the opportunity to do this. And I think everything that Cassie said is absolutely applicable, but it was also just a huge leap of faith.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the right way of putting it, but you're just really putting yourself out there physically, vocally, and emotionally available in a way that you're generally not with a person character, if that makes any sense at all.
Sure, and it's been fascinating to watch the process and watch when you watch these guys on stage, and if you are a dog guardian, as I am, and as you are, you just see your loved one, your little furry loved one in here. I have to take a quick tangent. Cassidy, I'm going to ask you to choose a number between 2 and 54.
Oh, okay.
There's no wrong answer.
There's no wrong answer.
Gosh, okay, let's pick 32.
32. Okay, let's see what 32 is. Here it goes.
Let me put my gun down. This is Dee Dee Snavely, and I'm letting you know you're listening to Offstage and On the Air at KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, and it beats that out of Andy Williams.
Okay. Jason Williams, in honor of Bob Tellero, who worked with him on most of the tuna stuff.
Your life was tuna for a long time.
Interestingly enough, my life is tuna as well, but that's a whole different story. So you guys are going to do a scene, correct?
Indeed, we are.
Can somebody set the scene up for us?
Yes. Our humans have just had a very bad argument, and one has stormed off out of the house, and the other one has stormed off into his bedroom, and this scene picks up right as the door gets slammed as our owner gets into the bedroom.
Wonderful. This is Cassidy Timms and Jason Graff doing a scene from Ground Floor Theater's production of Dex and Abby.
That was an argument.
Yeah, I think they had an argument.
So, we should have an argument too.
What? Why?
They're ours, we're theirs, so we have to have an argument too.
I don't know.
We need to, come on.
Oh, okay. So, what do we argue about?
Your pee smells funny.
I noticed that. What do you think that means?
No. You're supposed to say, no, it doesn't.
But it does, so.
Okay, you run in your sleep.
I do?
Your back legs, not your front. And you try and jump on your side asleep. It's weird. You're going to break something, old man.
Really? Well, I sometimes dream about our horses.
Okay.
The black one that...
You snore.
No, I don't. I don't snore. Now I know that.
Yes, you do. But you're asleep. And you wouldn't know that you were running or snoring or... Oh, this is not much of an argument.
Ooh, I get really upset when you try to get between me and mine on the bed every morning. Whichever side I try to get up on, you get there.
Great, now that is a good argument.
And if I try to get next to yours, you get between us too.
Yes, now, okay, this is going somewhere. Okay, yeah, well, that's just what I do. They both want me to be next to them, not you.
Well, then why does mine move you over to his other side and cuddle up with me?
He feels sorry for you?
He does not.
He does.
He does not.
He does. He told me so.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't understand anything he says to you unless I translate. That's how it works.
Okay, yeah, well. Look, there's a squirrel.
Squirrel? No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
Well, I'll be damned. That is a squirrel.
You crazy squirrel. I'll rip you apart if I get out of here, you nasty animal. Get off of my fence.
Get off of my fence. You. Come down here and I will smash you.
You.
Aw, now it ran away. Where did it come from?
I asked for squirrels. Mine brought them.
Silly, the trees are getting bigger.
Oh.
It was nap time. Now, what were we doing before the squirrels?
I have no idea.
What a great scene. How fun is that to play?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I do love Abby with my whole heart.
I do love, yeah, she's a little snarky devil, isn't she?
She is snarky.
That's one way of putting it. And
I love the use of you as a bark.
Yes.
You.
That's all I'm saying.
That's a great example of how the show uses humans to exemplify the dog stuff.
Alan wrote it really, I mean, Jason and I have a very easy job with the words. Alan wrote it beautifully as if it was coming from a dog. Yeah. So
awesome. Well, this is great. So the show opens tomorrow, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting. And how long does it run?
I have no idea. Okay. That's the producer.
It runs through June 1st. There is indeed a special industry night on Wednesday the 22nd. We'll have an ASL interpreted performance on the 23rd. And on Friday, this coming Friday, is a benefit performance for Austin Pets Alive.
That's the 17th.
Which is the 17th. And Austin Pets Alive does an amazing amount of work. And not only in Central Texas, but around the world, they train other dog shelters on how to be no-kill shelters.
They were one of the biggest providers that came in during Hurricane Harvey and went to Houston to help with the relocation of pets and set up. They were one of the first folks that went in there with their giant resource center. So they really do a lot of things and go far and beyond the Austin area.
Yeah. Right.
And they can get tickets for that through the same
website. Through the website, which is what, Bob?
I have no idea.
Groundfloortheater.org.
There it is. That's what
I do. I do that on purpose.
All the information is there.
Well, thank you guys for coming on. I hope some of you can stick around and join us backstage.
I hope so.
Yes. It'd be great. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. That was Bob Tolero, Cassidy Timms, and Jason Graff of Ground Floor Theater's production of Alan Baker's Dex and Abby. From May 16th through June 1st at Ground Floor Theater. And for more information, groundfloortheater.org.
It's not about you, Mr. Newman. It's all about
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Nicole Shiro, Shiro and Sheps, Sheps and Shiro. We are here. Da-na-na.
What
with
about
Rebecca Melanson?
I can't even begin to match that. That
Melanson.
Woo!
Melanson. So let's take a little moment to talk about local junk.
That local.
Local stuff. Most notably, the nominees for the Austin Critics Table were announced. And I'll just go through a couple of them. For Best Production, Antigonic, which I was not able to see, which is a Salvage Vanguard.
I know.
Merchant of Venice at UT Department of Theater and Dance. Also worth noting that Merchant of Venice is being done right now out at Zilker by Austin Shakespeare.
Shakespeare in the Park.
Notes from the Field from some organization called Zach, which I have just noticed that they've not done the correct spell, the correct capitalization.
Yes.
Hidden Room Theaters, the Rover. Either. So Zach Theater got only Notes from the Field and Sunday in the Park with George, both of them. Undocuments that Vortex did along with Avante Theater Project had a lot of things. Undocuments, I think, had the most nominations, if I'm not mistaken. But I could be mistaken. And finally, Street Corner Arts. I don't even remember this show, but here's the title. We are proud to present a presentation about the hero of Namibia, formerly known as Southwest Africa, from the German between the years 1884 and 1915.
I feel like we had them on, but we called it something different because the title was so long.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they were a guest.
Individual performance. They have all the individual performances won. We have Jill Blackwood, of course, for Sunday in the Park with George and Indian Ink. Robin Connor for Grapes of Wrath. Karina Dominguez for There and Back. Will Douglas from Significant Other, Lee Eddy for Cry It Out, and that's one I saw. Lee Eddy did such a great job.
Lee Ross.
Also performed at Zach, I believe, at the round stage.
The Wizen Hunt.
I keep forgetting the name, which one it's called.
It's Theater Unblocked did the Wizen Hunt.
So Judd Ferris for Booth's Richard III, Your Mother's Copy of the Kama Sutra. Carla Nickerson for Monroe from Notes of the Field. Amber Quick, who just doesn't love Amber Quick for Sunday in the Park, and Your Mother's Copy of the Kama Sutra and The Rover. Daniel Rowan for Hedwig and the Angry Inch, playing at some theater. And that's at Zach. And Cecil Washington also playing at that same theater, Sunday in the Park with George. So that's...
Do you know Always in the Park with George?
Always in the Park with George.
Yep.
Okay. Nobody. Okay. The other stuff I want to talk about, I did see a very interesting, looking on Now Playing Austin, which is a really great place to just find shows that you want to do. The Alchemy Theater Company at the Master George Theater, Mary Page Marlowe.
I saw this.
Which is Tracy Letts' play.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks just really interesting. And it is playing May 9th through June 1st, so it's already started. Goes through June 1st. For more information, The Alchemy, well, thealchemy.brownpapertickets.com, but just look up Mary Page Marlowe on Now Playing Austin, which is nowplayingaustin.com.
Dun, dun,
so are y'all ready to go to Today in Theater History?
Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
What happened, Lisa?
Many things.
Tell me.
Way back in 1922, Josh, you remember this.
Was a ball. It was that really rough, balmy year.
I just love this. I don't know any of these people because I don't know anybody. If Anne were
Chickalola was here, if she'd Anne be like, here, yeah, you do. Let me tell you.
This is a father and son playwriting team.
Oh.
Which I just thought was cool. J.C. Nugent and Elliot Nugent.
And they don't know them.
They were a show called Kempy.
Kempy?
That's Kempy. I love that. I'm going to turn your microphone on.
They could have gone to the Met Ball this year.
Yeah, you. No, your microphone was on. It ran at the Belmont Theater on Broadway.
It was brilliant. You missed it.
Yep. So here's something I didn't know. So everybody knows Peter Schaefer.
Right.
Who wrote Equus and Amadeus.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And everybody knows Anthony Schaefer, who wrote Sleuth.
Right.
Yes.
Did you know they were brothers?
Yeah, I think I actually did.
Okay, well, many people know that. But did you know that they are identical twins?
No, I did not.
Did not know that either.
Really?
Yeah.
Genius in the genes.
They were born in Liverpool on this
day. I just had the epiphany this week that Willie Geist's dad is Bill Geist. I was like, whoa, how did I never put those two together?
I don't know.
See?
Did you know that Adam Gettle is Oscar Hammerstein's grandson?
No, I don't know who that is.
Adam Gettle?
I don't know who that is. And he other person.
He wrote Light in the Piazza.
Oh,
Myths and Hymns.
Do not like that
Floyd
show.
Collins.
I was about to I know. Say, don't tell Josh that.
People hate me. Do not like
well,
that
no,
show.
I don't like there's no it counting yet. For taste.
You don't like it either, Jen?
No,
is that beautiful? The scenery was, the set was gorgeous, the lighting was beautiful, and that's where it stopped.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
and it's funny because it's one Angelala loves, and I'm like, yeah, she and
it's
I are
so
like,
good.
And for some reason, when I put my music on shuffle, all it plays is Light at the Piazza.
It's got good taste.
Oh, no, it's
terrible. Because it's like, Lisa, let me torture you.
So here's a British actress we don't talk about very often here on the show, and I don't know why, but at the London Ambassador's Theatre, The Mask of Virtue opened, starring one Vivian Leigh.
Oh, yeah. What year was that?
That would be 1935.
Oh.
Raise your hand if you have Laurence Olivier's autograph. Okay,
you
just
had,
me.
Why do you have Vivian Leigh's autograph?
Laurence Olivier.
Oh, I was about to say, I know you have Laurence Olivier, but yeah. Wait, oh,
I said Laurence Olivier.
You brought him up again. I thought you had Vivian Leigh, too, and I was like, wait, what?
So this is the, in 1971, Tyrone Guthrie died. He's, I should say, Sir Tyrone Guthrie. And you might know him, his namesake theater, the Guthrie Theater,
mm-hmm.
In Minnesota. Well, it's a good theater, I tell you. That's my Minnesota accent, everybody. This is why I do not act anymore. In 1994... one Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters reunited for the 10th anniversary concert of
Sunday in the George,
which should not have a second act. But I don't have an opinion. And in 2012,
Mandy Patinkin.
I remember talking about this on the show, and you appreciate this. The Development Lab of the Landing. It's a triptych musical.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by John Kander and Greg Pierce, the first time John Kander worked with somebody else other than Fred Ebb.
Fred Ebb from the grave, unless he can do something I don't know about.
That's
I'd be
true.
Totally down with Kander and Ebb popping out some more.
It played at the Vineyard Theater. Walter Bobby directed it, and the cast include Julia...
Say Walter Bobby again, because it's fun to say. Walter Bobby. Bobby Walter. Bobby Walter. Walter Bobby. Sorry. It's a fun name to say. It's one of those random ones.
Just waiting for it.
I'm done.
You done? Okay.
Yep.
Had Julia Murnay, David Hyde Pierce, and Paul Anthony Stewart in it. Today's birthday.
Bon anniversaire.
Lainey Kazan.
Oh.
1940. Paul Rudd. I'm younger than Paul Rudd. He's born in 1940. Chaz Palminteri.
Paul Rudd was born in 1940?
That's what it says.
Really?
Yeah. I'm also younger than Chaz Palminteri, 1952. And Jason Graw, who's been on this show, who was born in the same year as me. I'm not going to even say what that is.
Lainey Kazan was Barbra Streisand's understudy in the original production of Funny Girl.
Oh, really? Yep. I did not know that. Now I do.
All right, went on, and then it closed.
Yeah, I was like, it was on and done.
Well, let's hear a little bit of The Landing by Kander, John Kander.
Yes.
Not Fred Ebb.
Not Ebb.
It's hard to say Kander without saying Ebb.
It is hard. Lisa, I agree with you
okay.
on that.
Well, for once, we agree.
I know.
This is called Quartet.
The way she pulverized her nephew, I mean.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Shiribin.
Sheps, Sheps, and Shiro. And joined again by Rebecca Melanson.
Hello.
Hello, from far away. So let's get right to it because we ran long again, as we typically do. But not too long. We're just like a minute over. So that's going to hit our little wrap up more than anything else. We have a bevy of people here from the Zach Theaters Pre-Professional Company. And we have Josh Wexler. Hello, welcome back.
Thank you.
You are quite welcome. We have Jen Young-Malstadt.
Hi.
Okay, and then going from my left to right, we have Blakeney Malstadt.
Hello.
We have, oh my gosh, why do I have to do, oh, we have Zoe Parkinson.
Hello.
And Cameron Lamontagne.
Hi.
I got it right the first time. You know how I finally had to figure this out, and you've probably told this people, because this is how champagne is spelled.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So y'all are all here from the Pre-Professional Company. So Josh, tell everybody what the Pre-Professional Company is.
So PPC, or Pre-Professional Company, is a training program ranging in age from fifth grade to seniors in high school. We're divided into three companies based on age. It's an audition-based program. This last season, we auditioned almost 300 local kids, young adults, as far as Temple, Texas, and San Marcos. And we took, ranging in age, about 80 kids.
You have 80-year-olds in this show?
Yeah, 80-year-old kids.
They look good for 80.
I know. They're still kicking. Yeah. And they go through a series of classes first semester in dance, acting, and voice, specifically advanced music theater acting styles. And then in our spring semester, we put together a showcase featuring the skills that they have developed throughout their experience in the company.
Awesome. And Jen, this is your program, is it not?
Well, it's Zach's program.
Well, you run the program, do you?
But we're helping this ship, aren't
you? It was Nat and I's brainchild, and then Josh is my partner in crime, and it's just evolved. It's evolved because of parent feedback and student feedback, and it's a monster, and it takes a full crew to make it happen. Yeah. So.
It's amazing. I think the last time I had you guys on was like 6 or 7 years ago.
I know, we were barely starting.
Yeah, and I believe it was the second year.
You know, we were here the third year because we had we were doing Mixtape, which was our pop show.
Yes,
and Taylor
exactly.
Thomas sang Whitney Houston, and yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so it's really happy. I'm thrilled to have you back. And I remember when I went to see it at that time for Mixtape, I said I need to go to this every year. And
it's really grown a lot. And you know, what makes this year special. Specifically, is that we used to just pick a style of music or a concept and then build a show around it. And then as the company has evolved and our students have evolved, last year we had a theme of the young artist's journey, and we told us their stories of what it means to be a young artist. And then this year when they brought us the theme that they want, we said, well, we don't have, you know, what do you want to talk about? And what they gave us this year was so meaningful and special, and it's created a show that is beyond anything we've ever done before. It's controversial at times. It's edgy. It's impactful. It has a lot of heart. And we're really just really proud of what they're doing.
And what is that theme this year?
So the show is called Feedback. The subtitle is Too Loud to Ignore. And here's the official description.
Oh, good.
Zach Free Professional Company presents songs and stories about the potential for change, told through a unique fusion of unexpected and uplifting contemporary and traditional musical styles. Join us as we explore the unique perspective of young artists and their vision of the world they are quickly inheriting.
Awesome. So now, is this performed on the Top Fur? Because when I saw it, you were at the one I can't remember the names of.
The Claybird.
You moved to the Top Fur last year, and now you've actually...
2 years ago. This is our third show in the Top Fur, actually.
Oh, it is now. Mm-hmm. But I know you've also extended into multiple weekends.
We have 2 weekends this year.
So now, which ones of you have done this before?
This is my second year in PPC.
Yeah, and this is my third year.
Okay.
All of these kids have been in Zach main stage stuff too. So they've been in, they were just, all three of them were in Matilda. Right. We had 28 kids in Matilda from the pre-professional company. And so they've had the experience to be able to, you know, work on Zach's main stage.
Hey, you guys performed for Terrence McNally as part of his celebration, which was a nice, kudos too.
They shared a stage with Christy Altomare and Chita Rivera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but who hasn't done that?
And Lauren Lane, our favorite.
That's a good year.
It was a very good year.
Yes.
Well, so that's awesome. But you've got a song from the show that we're going to hear today?
We do.
Okay.
So there's a lot in the show that uses contemporary music theater, classic music theater, as well as a fusion of styles. A lot of the themes we're playing on are... old classical styles remixed. For instance, we're doing a version of the bottle dance from Fiddle on the Roof, but we've reorchestrated for a rock band, and it's set in a school library. So
I just have to ask a question about that in specific. So is any hints of klezmer gone from that number? Because it
not
a very klezmer feel.
The clarinet and the electric guitar play in a really similar range, so it really translates
well. That sounds fascinating. I want to see that.
Yeah. And then Cameron, who's a senior this year in our program, our third-year company member, who will be attending the University of Ohio Northern University. Thank you. Next year, which is another important part of our program, is college audition prep. We'll be performing Alanis Morissette's "All I Really Want."
Great. Well, we're going to be ready for "Jagged Little Pill," the musical, which is opening.
Exactly.
All right. So this is Cameron LaMontagne of Zach Theater's pre-professional company doing a song from Feedback. Too Loud to Ignore.
Do I stress you out? My sweater's on backwards and inside out, and you say, how appropriate. I don't like to dissect everything today. I don't mean to pick you apart, you see, but I can't help it. And there I go, jumping before.
A way to calm the angry voice. And all I really want is deliverance.
Do I wear you out? You must wonder why I'm relentless and all strung out. I'm consumed by the chill of solitary. I'm like a Stella. I like to reel it in and then spit it out. I'm frustrated by your apathy. And I am frightened by the corrupted ways of this land. If only I could meet the maker. And I am fascinated by the spiritual man. I'm humbled by his humble nature. Yeah, and what I wouldn't give find a soulmate, someone else to catch this drift. And what I wouldn't give to meet a kindred. Ah. enough about me. Let's talk about you for a minute. Enough about you. Let's talk about life for a while. The conflicts, the craziness, and the sound of pretense is falling. Petrified of silence. Here, can you handle this? Did you think about your bills, your ex, your deadlines, or when you think you're gonna die? Or did you long for the next distraction? And all I really want is some peace, man. A place to find a common ground. And all I really want is a wavelength. Ah.
Oh my God, how great is that?
That was awesome, Sauce.
That was awesome. So we really don't have much time, and so we're just going to go right up to the end of the hour, and we'll hopefully some of you can stay for backstage and we can get more information there. But the one question that I have, this is clearly such a pop and rock song versus what we in our business tend to train for is musical theater. How is that to sing this kind of music versus what we're typically doing with a musical theater?
I mean, I think it's great because you can kind of see contemporary musical theater pulling from rock and pop songs lately. So I think it's something that I'm blessed to learn at the pre-professional company.
That was a good answer, Lisa Shep. She answered that for you.
So unfortunately, we are plumb out of time. Give folks some more information where they can get information about the show and the dates.
Tickets are on sale at Zach's website. ZachTheater.org, under just the tickets column. The show is this weekend, May 18th and 19th, and next weekend, the 25th and 26th.
Awesome. And so ZachTheater.org is the website to go to.
Correct.
And we'll get more information about the pre-professional company, and as well as more information about you guys that are going to stay backstage, for those of you listening on the podcast. So we've got to run. We have gone over time, so we have got to run right now. Stand by for Austin Modern News if you're listening on the terrestrial, if you're listening on the podcast, backstage at offstage. We're going to run with our last pet song about rabbits.
Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run.
All right, the curtain has just come down on I Got Too Many Rabbits, the musical. The story of a young person living in a studio in Austin, Texas that is overrun by little furry rodents. So the show's just come down. We've just left the backstage area. We're now down in the parking lot by the dumpsters. And we have been joined by a great group of people that are joining us here backstage. And without my glasses, I need to read who everybody is. So we're going to start with Josh Wexler, who's way over there. Hi. Welcome to backstage. We have Blakeney Malstadt.
Hello.
And we have Zoe Parkinson.
Hello.
And Carolyn Lamontagne.
Hello.
And then we have Jason Graff.
A pleasure to be behind the dumpster with you again, Lisa.
It is. You know, it's always nice behind the dumpsters. And Cassidy Timms.
Hi.
Nicole Shiro's empty seat is right next to me, so that's good. Okay, we're going to pick up right where we left off before, talking to the Zach Pre-Professional folks about the Zach Pre-Professional company. Josh, did you want to say a little, because there's stuff that we didn't get to talk about that we wanted to highlight.
Well, I think that it has been such a privilege to build and grow this program over the past 6 years. And we're now starting to see the benefits of the rewards of what we've done. Mm-hmm. For instance, we have a young lady who is on a national tour of Hamilton now.
I've heard of that show.
Yes, a couple people have. And she's just having the most amazing experience touring with Hamilton. Then one of our first graduates, Matthew Moore, who you probably remember from years and years ago, just finished two productions of West Side Story and is doing The Music Man. I can't remember where, but somewhere good.
Well, you know, the Music Man is opening up on Broadway soon.
Well, maybe he'll go there next.
Okay.
And our senior, you know, every year we take on a group of seniors and we coach them through their audition, college audition process, and they've all done exceptionally well.
Right. And I know that we did want to talk about the college preparatory program. So somebody tell us what that is.
Yeah. So basically, within the pre-professional company, we have a group of seniors who are chosen, and basically Josh and Jen help us with our college audition process, which ranges from finding material to perfecting it and actually executing the auditions.
Yeah, it's been so helpful. So during the first semester of PBC, we have a time allotted into our PBC day to work on our audition material as a group. And Josh and Jen have just been so helpful, and I could not imagine going through the whole process without them.
How many schools did you audition for each?
I auditioned for, I think, 23 schools.
My gosh.
I auditioned for 18.
Oh, my. And do you use the same audition piece for each? Please say yes.
Most of the time,
okay,
yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because that would be killer. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's actually a great segue to switch over from. Well, before we do that, I'm assuming that they can get more information for all of this stuff on zacktheater.org.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're gonna switch gears and do what we really do here backstage and learn about you yourselves versus the show you're doing. Yay. And I think it's a great segue to talk about both of you are seniors, and by both of you I mean Cameron and Zoe.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Are y'all going to college?
We are.
Yes, we're both going to college.
And are you both going to study theater?
Yes, we both are majoring in musical theater.
Great, thanks for being on the show. Okay, now one of you is going to like some crazy school in Ohio, is that what I heard?
Yes, that's me. I'm going to Ohio Northern University.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it in Northern Ohio?
Yes.
Good, okay, I had a feeling it was. What city is it in?
Ada, Ohio.
Ada? Mm-hmm. Really? I ate a hot dog the other day. Ada.
Ada.
Anyway, yeah. Okay. Well, that's exciting. So you're studying musical theater there.
Yes.
And then what about you, Zoe?
And I am going to the University of Central Oklahoma to major in musical theater.
Okay. There's a show called Oklahoma.
There is.
Well, there
I've
is.
Heard of it.
Well, that's great. So how was the process for you guys to go through all of those auditions? And then I'm going to just presume that you had more than one choice of schools to go to. So what was the process like for you? How did you feel about it? And how excited are you for the future? That's a lot of questions to answer.
Actually, okay. It was not anywhere as near as stressful as I thought it was going to be. The amount of support that we've gotten is we're really thankful for it. And I mean, it honestly was mostly fun. It was a lot of traveling, and it was a lot of getting to perform our pieces, which we love, and getting to just put ourselves out there. And auditioning is the whole job. So it was just a really good look into the future, I think, as well as just auditioning for schools.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the most important things that I've found through this year is that for college, they want you to really know who you are. And when this process started, I'm sure I'm not speaking for myself when I say that. I was like, oh, well, they want someone who knows who they are. Like, I'm not sure that I know that. So it's been a lot of self-discovery as well as, like, finding the fun in auditioning and just putting yourself out there.
Well, I will tell you, for those of us of a certain age, when you're at your age, you don't know who you are. I will just tell you, nobody does. But that's great. So I'm assuming, and this is a question for everybody here, I'm going to assume that the folks that are here from Zach and the pre-professional company are all on their way to or consider themselves to be triple threats. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Very important. What about over here on the other side, Cassidy and Jason? Do you guys sing and dance?
Oh,
I know you act.
Oh, I am a very well-established single threat. I can I can act. And yeah, that's about it. Now, I would love to, but I don't trust my voice. And you've seen Dex and Abby. I'm not the most graceful of performers.
Well, it's never too late.
It's never too late. Well, that's really important. I think that's true. You could always take some voice lessons. I'll give you Adam Roberts' telephone number or Josh Westwood's telephone number.
Thank you.
What about you, Cassidy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I this is a hard question. I'm a little bit of a triple threat, kind of, only sometimes. Like, I got to go to Scotland and sing in a show, and that was amazing. I did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and when I got the role, they were like, can you sing? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, can you play ukulele? And I was like, yeah, kind of a little bit. And so then they offered me the role, and that was awesome. So I can do those things, and I do have a dance background, but I do focus more on theater. I do focus more on contemporary or Shakespeare. Yeah, that's my world.
Contemporary Shakespeare, you sort of like run the gamut.
Yeah, I guess I should say like very, very new plays, new works, or Shakespeare.
Got I it. Like doing the plays where they talk.
And Blake, well, so now I'm gonna presume that the three of you are from Austin. That's Zoe, Cameron, and Blakeney. Jacob, where are you from originally?
Jason is originally.
Jason, damn it.
It's all right.
I keep doing that.
There's a Jacob.
In the show, we have a Jacob and a Jason. Yes. And I honestly cannot, and I've been doing it since day one.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I am originally from Northeast Indiana, and Jacob and I went to rival theater programs in Indiana.
In Indiana?
Yes, we did.
So do you know the song Indiana Wants Me? Google it.
Okay.
Cassidy, where are you from?
I'm from Elgin, Texas, which is not far from here. Grew up there, but found my way into Austin as often as I could to do theater in Austin at a young age.
Do you like sausage?
I mean, that's what Elgin is famous for. And it is very good. I grew up on it, so
So
yeah.
Where I just moved here from is Chicago, and we have an Elgin. We pronounce that Elgin, not Elgin.
Elgin.
Well, that's awesome. So what caused, one of the things we like to talk about here, and we have a big group, and so we'll just be a free fall, is how you found yourself doing theater. What was it, what got you into that?
We were just talking about that before we got in here.
Yeah.
Good, then you're prepared.
I was 3 years of floating around in the undergraduate without declaring a major, and just on a whim, took a fundamentals of performance class. And then what happens to all actors, you know, when you get that first taste, fell in love. Mm-hmm. And then, from that point on, started my college career over again, was in college for another 4 years. So 7 years and I got a theater degree.
So you were born and bred in Indiana?
Yes, I was born and bred in Indiana.
That's a valid term. That's what I say about myself.
Of course.
Yeah, so Indiana is great. Do you ever miss the cold weather?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
I miss the weather. I don't miss the activities. I don't miss. Yeah, let's move on.
Well, who knows? We could have an Indianian as president.
Hoosier. We're Hoosiers.
Hoosier as president. Hoosier.
Yes.
So, Cassidy, what about you? How'd you get yourself in there?
Got my start in theater. Well, I always loved. I started dancing when I was 3. I was very, very young and did cheerleading and performance for a very long time. And then when I was 13, I kept begging my mom to please put me in an acting class, please put me in some sort of theater program. And I think the Zach Pre-Professional was just getting its start. This was 10, 11, 12 years ago, not sure. But I had looked into it and for whatever reason went with the Vortex. I auditioned and did the Vortex for 4 or 5 years of my youth. Loved it every second. Went to college for acting at Texas State University and now do theater in Austin or overseas if possible.
Yeah, nice. As in Edinburgh. So again, what brought you, Blakeney, I'm guessing you sort of come by it honestly.
Yes. I got started into theater because my mom has always been my inspiration. She's done shows at Zach. Like a lot of shows at Zach.
Yes, she
and
has.
I've always watched her backstage and just admired her. And she's the person who got me into musical theater.
So I find it. Go ahead.
Two
Josh.
Funny little stories about this one right here, because I've known her for an awfully long time. So, first, Jen was doing a production of Bessel Whorehouse at Playhouse when she was pregnant with Blakeney.
Okay.
So she was the pregnant
one. Did she play
one.
Miss Mo? Oh, she played one of it. Okay.
And. then when I first met Blake New, I was swinging in Xanadu at Zach, and Jen was in the show, and I used to have to go observe every once a week.
I saw you there.
And I'd have to hold Blake New down in her chair to keep her from jumping on the stage and doing all the choreography as a 5-year-old. So there's no stopping her.
Did anybody else grow up in a theater family?
I grew up in a musical household. Uh-huh. I danced since I was 3, like you, and it just kind of made sense. Once I got into high school, I was like really interested in musical theater, but never thought to pursue it until I found Zach Pre-Professional Company.
So, Blakeney, one of the things that one of the articles we talked about on the air was this thing about working mothers.
Yes.
And one of the questions that they asked all 5 of these women was, do you ever take your kids? And the ones that had kids that were like toddlers to early teens said yes, and they were like they would play games backstage and they would do all this thing. And I just thought about the idea of growing up in that environment, because I didn't. Well, was that fun for you? Did you? Was it like, yeah?
Yes.
I wish you had the webcam on right now.
Yes, it was.
Tell us. Do you have any? Is there any story from those days that you want to like talk about? Something trouble you got into or something?
Oh, okay. So my mom was in Sophisticated Ladies at Zach Theater, and
how many? This should be a drinking game every time we hear Zach Theater.
Jennifer Holliday was in the show.
Yes,
and she's really famous.
Yes, she is. And she's from Houston, Texas.
Yeah, and so I remember walking into her dressing room. It was purple. Like, everything was purple. And it was just, like, it was like a fairy tale. Like, I can't even describe, like, what it felt like for me. And she was just sitting on her couch like a princess. And she's like, do you want me to sign this program? And I was like, yes, please. And that was just, like, that was just an amazing time, because I got to sit there with her and just, like, hang out, and that was fun.
Oh, that's great.
Blakeney was the only person allowed in that dressing room.
Yes.
Well, and I can see why. You're charming.
Yes.
So how old are you now? Do you mind saying?
I am 12.
You're 12. So it's not going to be that long before you're a senior and you're deciding where you want to do. Do you think at this stage in your life, do you think you want to make a career of this?
I think I do, yes.
Okay. Plenty of time to change your mind. But
yes.
So Nicole is waving to us. I don't know why she didn't come in. Her microphone is sitting here empty, and now here she is. So that's one of the things that I think is fascinating. Josh is pointing.
Zoe,
what are we going to say to Zoe?
Zoe, share.
Oh, theater. Oh, okay. So I originally was in like some little junior production when I was like in 4th grade, and I hated it. And then I was a ballerina by trade, and I wanted to do that. And then I needed an elective for my 8th grade course list. And so I figured that I'd just do like the beginning theater class, because it seemed like I had done it before.
It's easy.
So I did it, and then I got roped in.
Yeah. It sucks you in, doesn't it?
It does.
Jason, have you ever done a musical before?
Yes.
Name it.
South Pacific Company.
There ain't nothing like a dang.
That's really easy good for the ones.
Floor of the Red Menace.
Good old candy. I was like, where's the candor? But you just threw it in.
I just threw it in there. Yeah, so I've, yes.
Hello.
Yeah, you're not going to get me to do that.
I love that.
We weren't trying to get
you to do that. Floor of the Red Menace is one of those musicals that people don't do enough, and it's a wonderful musical with great songs.
Great songs, great characters, very, very funny. Lots of really good character work to be done in that show.
Someone needs to do Floor of the Red Menace.
God, if somebody just ran a theater around here, we could talk them
into
doing
it. Maybe someone could do Floor of the Red Menace.
Yeah, it's not like Russia is in the news.
There you go. So what else do we got? We've got just a few more minutes to go. What else do you guys want to talk about? What's on your mind that pertains to theater and the stuff you're doing? Anything?
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
But the best part is they're not all silent. You like all stump them and they're all like intent faces, like searching and looking like, oh.
If you could do anything.
Profound questions by
theatrically, what would it be?
Oh, we also asked that one.
Yeah.
Brick and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and Macbeth.
Cool. I have four dream roles.
Okay, go.
My dream roles are Juliet, Ophelia, Mrs. Lovett, and Madame Thénardier.
Wouldn't it be great to do those all at the same time?
I was saying, could you imagine all of those characters together in a show?
Cameron, do you have one?
I've recently really been into Six, the musical, so really any
Six,
of
the one
wives.
That's playing in London right now?
Yes.
It is. A friend of mine just went to see it last week, and really? It is supposed to be amazing, and it's about to go on the road throughout the UK.
The junior version of Nine.
Yeah.
It is, kind of. But it's if you look at the trailer on the website, it's amazing. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. I really want to see that. It'll come here. Mm-hmm. I betcha.
That's its plan. That's what it wants to do.
That's what it wants to do. Zoe?
Oh, I really want to be Carlotta in Phantom and Bridget in The Humans.
Okay.
Those are two very different roles. I kind of love it.
When I get older, definitely. I want to be Natalie from Next to Normal.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we're doing it at Ground Floor Theater. You can come be in it. Did you know that? I'm just announcing it right here.
Yes. I was like, well, Lisa.
Nicole. So no, forget I ever said that. I did not say that. We'll delete this out of the thing. We
second
won't really, but we will.
Yeah,
great role.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zach Theater did it.
All right, yes. Josh, if you were going to be back on there, what role for you, sir?
Well, my dream
role is
Phantom, of course, is the first show I ever saw. It's what inspired me to start to commit my life to musical theater. But, you know, I would be really happy doing a cabaret. Not the show. Well, I'd love to play the MC again, too. But I would like to just do another cabaret.
Of all your favorites.
I could see you doing that very well. I could see
show.
When was the last time you've done one?
A one per like a concert?
Yeah.
At City Theater four years ago.
Huh?
I've been really focusing on teaching and directing, which I love, and I think that I've got right now my bucket list is more focused on what I would like to direct and teach.
So what's your next direct then?
PPC keeps me pretty busy. over the summer, I'm gonna direct nothing because I have
love
to
love that show.
Yeah. And then we're gonna rebuild another show for next year, and eventually, I'd like to start a summer musical for young adults at Zach over the summer as well.
Awesome. Great place to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all for joining us backstage here in
thank
the dumpsters.
You. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Lisa.
And best of everything for everything, because we don't have the same rules here. Everybody needs to come and see Dex and Abby.
Woo-hoo. Yes, you must.
Yeah. And that's groundfloortheater.org. And definitely come and see the pre-professional companies showcase.
Feedback.
Feedback. The world of feedback.
Too loud to ignore.
Too loud to ignore. Which is go see that. ZachTheater.org, groundfloortheater.org. Just do it.
Get off.
You must.
Yes.
You must.
We implore
get
you.
Get off your hineys and do it.
Get off your hineys and do it. Let your fingers do the walking on the keyboard.
We're walking out here, a little Flora the Red Menace as we leave. We just enjoy those dulcet tones as we walk ourselves back to the stage door. We'll see you guys. That's your cue to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
See ya.